Back again for part two with Steve Bartlett, or as I try and emulate him as best I can, where we go through the most recent auction campaign for Kurt and assess what happened and how do you get that amazing result.
Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me, as always, is...
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent.
Chris, I just want to say, I heard you about to say, and what went wrong?
And then I was like, well, nothing went wrong as far as... actually, maybe things... It didn't end up awesome. There might have been some tears at the end. We might touch on that and see what happens.
We can always.
Good tears and bad tears. Okay.
At the moment, my eyes are tearing up. Jesus.
You smoke some weed or something. Okay. So we continue on from last episode. So hopefully if you've had a listen to that, this will make sense. But if not, please go back or pick it up here. So we're basically talking about a recent campaign that Kurt ran with quite a successful result. We've talked about what happened during the campaign and securing it. Now we're talking about the auction night itself.
Yep.
So it's Q&A, me on you. Let's talk about 24 hours before the auction. Were there jitters? Were there many people sort of looking to register? How was the pulse check?
So sometimes the way we've ran auctions in the past is, particularly if it's on a Saturday, we get people to just on the day register.
Okay.
That's fine. Yep. You can still be in communication. But being a lot of first home buyers, it being on a Wednesday night, I wanted things to run like clockwork.
Yep.
So I actually had people pre-registered. Now I thought there might have been about five. That's what I told the vendor, 4 to 5. When buyers asked, I was happy to be open once I got fairly secure that there was going to be 4 to 5.
So how do you determine that 4 or 5? Obviously people can verbally, but is that more based on contracts and requested and reviewed?
Yes, it was based around, one, the feedback and the fact I was consistently 3 to 4 times a week in touch with these buyers, even if it was a quick phone call. And I had requested that they make the amendments as early as possible, being first home buyers. So when it comes to the day, they're nice and said they're as settled as they can be because they're not worrying about amendments.
Okay. So the night before, how many were there?
The night before, we actually ended up having 7.
Okay. And on when the auction ticked around, how many were then registered?
We had... It was 6 or 7.
So more.
No. So it was basically the same. One person had rocked up that I had only literally just seen it 15 minutes before. Another person had decided to pull out because they didn't have their finances ready.
Right, okay. So the 7 actually went to 6. No, the 7 stayed at 7.
Yeah, but it was an interchange.
Like
yeah.
A nice little hockey sort of bench.
And it was funny seeing how, because I've been nurturing these first-home buyers and the conversation, I even recommended either using a buyer's agent or a family member so they could actually give their best shot at winning.
Yep.
And now it was quite relaxed. And as it came to auction night, the sun setting, finishing off like getting them to sign the pre-registration, the nerves and the tension you could just feel. Now, admittedly, this is a 42 square meter apartment, or 38 and a half square meter apartment. So,
but with balcony 42.
Yeah, balcony 42 yeah. And a half.
Okay, so auctioneer, I was there, took a video. We'll post that either in this or splice it together or separately. Auctioneer kicks things off. Anything surprising in terms of how things kicked off?
So throughout the whole campaign, I told, like, once we got right near the end, people knew value was, we expected it to end up about 625 to 630, which people were all aware of. And I teed a couple of buyers who were, I was like, to give them advice. I was like, look, just come straight out at the gate. You're going to put some people off. Someone tried to start out the bidding at 575.
Well,
or 577.
Well, and they were successful, right? Because that bid was accepted by the auctioneer.
No.
No? I thought it was.
No. He was sort of repeating it, like to make sure he had heard it correctly. But I was about to, standing next to the auctioneer, going to reject it.
Right, okay. But before that happened...
Then, before I could even get my words out of the mouth, another person came straight in at 6:35.
Okay. Fun question, actually. So, did that first bid end up getting registered as the first bid of the night or not? You don't know?
On paper, it actually did.
Yeah, because it makes sense, right? Because then you're like, well, okay, cool. Okay, yeah. So first bid that wasn't accepted, but no one knew because they didn't have time, 577. Next bid was...
635,000.
So 5 grand over what you... thought likely to be the maximum, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you thought...
But at that point in time, we were then ready to sell.
Yeah, which again was an interesting thing. I said to the after the auction, the auctioneer straight away, and they they do not need to use the term on the market. Didn't even use the term, but he used the term. Okay, we are selling now. This is selling, which was interesting to me because most times when I've been auctions, and even if they hit the reserve, the auctioneer typically turns back and just double checks with the agents to go, am I good to say it is?
So you, I remember you questioned me and what happened after the 6:35, someone had made a bid at 6:40.
Correct.
And we had already had the discussions, even though the reserve was a little bit less than that, we'd all made the prearranged discussions that we would be selling above 6:40 and we're actually going to call it.
Yeah, oh, and I get all that, but I still think the auctioneer my experience of the auctioneer is still pause and go just double check because all of a sudden the momentum's there and they might be like, actually, let's hold off. But anyway, it was fine. It was good. I like the fact that he went, we are selling tonight, we're going. Like you said, so next bid 6:40 and there was, I think in the end...
There was 18 bids.
And across five parties or four parties? Five.
I think it was...
six?
Definitely four. And up until about the six... It was about 6:50 or 6:60 is then when it got to two parties.
Yeah, okay. And, what can you tell us next in terms of the next bidding process from there?
Well, I'll give a quick little story, which I'm not sure you're aware of this. I still went to go and check on my vendor who was in the apartment who could actually see over the auctioneer. I went up to, and by the time it was 6:40 and I'd got up to just be like, triple checking that he is happy because the reserve, he could at any moment be like, do you know what?
And change the reserve price.
I'm trying to open the door because for some reason the door is locked. And then he just opens it. And by the time I've got there, in like the space of 30 seconds, it's jumped up to 6:60.
Crazy. Okay.
By the time I walked...
And he knew that because he could hear it?
Yes, he could hear. By the time I walk back down, the number's, I think, in the 670s. And I'm trying to work out what number it is.
Yeah, trying to catch up. Because like,
by the time I've come down, and then from that point of view... We know we're definitely selling. I'm going around to all the buyers to ensure. Yeah. I'm like, well, it's going between two people, but I'm going under to politely ask. I'm like, Chris, are you in or out? We are selling.
Yeah, and I did see that. And again, the video I took on the night will show, it shows you walking around. There was one lady, I think, and after the auction, we started jumping ahead, but she had somebody else bidding on her behalf. But you came up to her, I think, and asked her if she was in or out. And after the auction, she was a bit unhappy with that approach?
Yeah, so it wasn't actually the lady who she would have been the purchaser, just call her name Amanda.
Right.
It was Amanda's friend.
Right.
Now I know Amanda had a buyer's agent, but in the moment of how fast pace things are moving, and I've basically spent most of the time speaking to Sinead, even though I have spoken a little bit to the buyer's agent, I literally was just saw her, I was like, oh yeah, cool. I wanted to check. I was just like, I literally
just double check, are you in or out? Which is a normal thing, but after the auction. The friend was a bit annoyed that you had asked that person and rather than ask the buyer.
Well, I said, look, it was an honest mistake. But Amanda wasn't actually upset. And she then her friend tried to but you put her out of rhythm. And then I sort of went back on her words and was like, but she can't actually place the bid because the buyer's agent is the one that has the number and the bidding card.
Yeah.
And is doing the bidding. So I was like, how have I placed it? Anyway.
And also one of those scenarios in the end, like where it's sold for. I'm pretty, well, obviously she didn't bid, but I think even if she wasn't thrown off, she was never going to be at that level anyway.
No, they weren't going to get to that level.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So then we have the final two people sort of back and forth. We got to like $1,000 bids, but then there's someone else doing bigger bids. I think that's what's going on.
A little bit of that, but then we got to the 6-night and it ended up going in $1,000.
Oh, each way, $1,000.
Yeah. Right near the end, $1,000.
Okay. So final number was?
693.
Yeah. So from a guide originally... 575?
No, 595,000.
Then in change to 615.
Yep.
Then expecting the night, 620, 630.
A lot of people have been like, oh, what does the vendor actually really want? Yeah.
There's also this hard part. We talk about, across Sydney, there's underquoting and underguiding and stuff. But in the end, that's part of what happens in an auction. People get emotion. People get involved. People want what they can't have. They can see the competition. So there's a directness around it. It's what it went for.
Yep. And overall, the purchase is also over the moon.
And what do you mean by that?
They'd been looking for a little bit. They'd been at a auction as well where there was a guide around 600,000 and it went up near 800.
Yeah, right. So then that was like pretty reasonable difference in the end.
Yeah, reasonable difference. Now, okay, this had views and all that, and anyway.
Okay, differences, but sure. Okay. Yeah. All right. And Vendor, obviously, as you said in the last episode, you know, you were out of area.
Yep.
Another property in the same complex itself recently for $622
and $500.
$500. I'm assuming your vendor was pretty happy to have made the decision to go with you.
Before the auction, the vendor was just, he was very happy to go with me. And then after the auction, he was, him and his partner, it was just him on title, was extremely happy with the process. And it was one of those ones we were trying to keep it in check, just to be like, you know, I can't not. Sometimes as an agent, you got to try and make sure you're just keeping your vendor cool. And that's where you might discuss being like, look, we're expecting, you might think there's definitely five, but you never know what happens. So you might be like, look, we are thinking five, but like, let's have three in our mind. But when you do have seven pre-registered.
Right, okay.
And they've all got amendments as well. So it's not like I'm going to be like, these guys haven't made amendments. They're not. The fact that there was so many amendments, late amendments coming into the contract.
Yep.
Overall though, he was satisfied, and it was just, one of those vendors is a really good relationship, which is always actually sometimes nice to have. Sometimes it is a business transaction where someone doesn't want to hear from you again.
Sometimes what I do as a buyer, and sometimes it's like, yeah, thanks, Chris. That's okay. Like, they're happy, but
yep.
Other times it's really heartfelt and meaningful.
Yeah. And I think that was one of these ones. He had said that, you know what, last time the agent was charging 1.65, and he's like, I probably got the 1.65% like effort out of him.
Yep.
And he had no qualms about him. He also said, look, this probably didn't help the market at the time.
Yep.
But he was very happy with just the effort, the whole proceeding.
The whole proceeding. All right.
Yeah.
That nicely wraps it up.
Let's get into it.
The three quick cues for you this time.
So thank you for trusting me.
Yeah, indeed. All right. We'll try and be relatively quick here. One thing buyers say at every inspection that makes you roll your eyes?
Why the vendor selling,
yeah. If you had to live above a shop when you were a kid, what shop would you pick to live above?
Would have been Muckabout.
What's Muckabout?
It was a massive, in Lake Haven on the Central Coast, a massive play area. There's like...
I said shop, but sure. Last question. Does Piastri win the F1 Grand Prix?
Yes, Oscar Piastri, number one. Lando, get out of here, mate. Papaya, it's only Oscar.
Lando's still papaya, but sure.
Yeah, he can get out.
Me too. Very good.
Homework this week. Guys, I want you to share it with a friend, this episode, about what a campaign actually feels like and what an auction, how an auction sometimes can flourish. If you were wondering, the auction went for 4 minutes.
It did. Record it.
It was quick.
Beautiful. Thank you for dropping by.